The Rockets starters absolutely struggling against the Boston Celtics, but hey, the Rockets bench had it going. Alper and Şengün putting on a passing clinic. Armani Brooks on fire from behind the three-point line, but this game coming off the rails in the third quarter. Celtics starting the frame a 20-3 run and then coasting to the finish line 108-90. We'll break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Six. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, co-host of Locked On NBA Thursdays, and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo H. A lot to break down from this Rockets-Celtics game. 108-90 loss against the Boston Celtics. We'll get to all of that, but first, a quick message. Got to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't want or need, and you can even negotiate better deals on the ones that you want to keep. Go check out our friends at Truebill. Now, bunch to break down from this Rockets-Celtics game. The starters looking absolutely in disarray in the third quarter. Unfortunately, that's where the game completely fell apart. The Rockets bench unit finding a lot of success, especially in that second quarter, into the first, beginning of the second, a lot of success for the Rockets bench unit, very much keeping them in this game as the starters all definitely struggled. Not a single starter breaking into double figures in this one. Alper and Şengün putting on a passing clinic. Armani Brooks on fire from behind the three-point line. And then a cryptic tweet from one John Wall that we'll get to in the third segment and what it means. We'll try and decipher what's going on there. But let's start with I want to start with Alper and Şengün. Where else can I go? It's kind of a toss-up between, right, Alper and Şengün and Armani Brooks. Who was the best player for the Rockets in this game? Who is our Locked On Rockets player of the game in this one? Is it Alpi or is it Armani Brooks? Is it Sniper Brooks? Because Armani finished the game 17 points, 5 of 9 shooting, 5 of 8 from behind the three-point line. He was 2 of 3 at the charity stripe, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, was a plus 8 in 25 minutes of run. And then Alpi was, 3 of 6 shooting, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, was 2 of 2 at the charity stripe, missed his only 3-point attempt, and finished a plus 9 in 21 minutes of run. So between those two guys, those were easily the two bright spots for the Rockets this game. But I want to focus on Alper and Şengün here. And then second segment, I want to talk about kind of some of the woes that we saw offensively for the Rockets and what Armani Brooks unlocks for this Rockets team, as well as Garrison Matthews by association, right? What those two mobile shooters unlock for this Rockets team offensively. So let me stick with Alpi for a little bit. And I feel like I just need to record a clip of myself. Maybe I'll do it right now. Hang on. Clear my voice. Hang on. Sorry. Alper and Şengün deserves to start over Daniel Theis. No exceptions. There we go. That's a good enough clip, right? I'll just like cut that clip and I'll like save it in my little producer toolbar and I'll just run that back anytime I want to talk about Alper and Şengün, because at this point, there is no reason that Şengün should be coming off the bench. Like, I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense. Everybody plays better when they have Alper and Şengün on the floor, because everybody understands that they can cut, they can move, the ball never like stops. He is either going to create something, he's either going to create a bucket for himself, he's going to get himself to the free throw line, or he's going to create a great look for one of his teammates. Those are the three things that happens when Alper and Şengün has the basketball on the floor. That it's that cut and dry. Very, you know, infrequently it will turn into a turnover. Sure. And that's to be expected. But if you're going to give Kevin Porter Jr. all this leash to run the offense and be the point guard and, you know, have, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 turnovers a night sometimes, give LP the same leash, right? Like, LP is arguably more of a pro's pro than KPJ at this point, and seemingly is a better facility. I think LP is the best playmaker on the team. Like, and that shouldn't be a hot take. LP is the best facilitator, best playmaker on this Rockets team. Maybe you make the argument that DJ Augustine is up there. You know, he's got the veteran experience. He's an actual point guard. Like, you know, if he was playing 36 minutes a game, yeah, maybe he's racking up 5, 6, 7 assists. I don't know. LP is the best playmaker on this game. The dime that he had to close out the game, his 7th assist of the evening, his 7th and final assist, which I do believe is a career high in assists. It was definitely a team high in assists. I think it was also a career high in assists for LP. He drove the ball into the lane, got surrounded by 3 Celtics defenders, which, like, first off, LOL, why are the Celtics, like, collapsing 3 guys on LP in the paint? Gets, you know, has 3 Celtics defenders wrapped around him, and then has a behind-the-back wrap-around bounce pass around all 3 Celtics defenders out to Josh Christopher, who then promptly, thank you, JC, for drilling the 3-pointer. It happened in garbage time, but it was easily one of the best passes that I've ever seen in a live NBA game. And this is what LP does. He has the ability to, he has some of the wildest passes, and they work. Like, it's one thing to be trying to, like, thread the needle and, you know, getting a little cute with the ball and trying all this stuff. It's another thing to have them actually, like, to have the ball delivered on target to where you were trying to get it to, and to then see it turn into points, right? To see it actually turn into an assist. He has some of the craziest passes, and it comes from his patience, his court vision. He's just a naturally gifted playmaker and passer. And the Rockets not tapping into that potential, you know, still rolling the dice on Daniel Tice. Oh God, I didn't mean to Seussical the musical up in Lockdown Rockets. Oops. Didn't mean to rhyme those two together. But that said, heinous rhyme aside, it doesn't make any sense. Alperen Şengün needs to be starting over Daniel Tice. The sooner the Rockets make that switch, the sooner they will be getting off to better starts in these games. And the only switch that I would even remotely be okay with moving forward is if they decide, upon Kevin Porter Jr.'s return to the lineup, if they decide to keep Eric Gordon in the starting lineup and they move Daniel Tice to the bench, I'm okay with that set of starters, right? Basically, Jayshon Tate being your small ball 4, Christian Wood at the 5. As long as that lineup doesn't then subsequently cut into minutes for LP off the bench, in a perfect world, come December 15th, the Rockets move Daniel Tice to a, you know, playoff contender, whatever, and, you know, they say, thank you for your short stint of service, we appreciate everything you've done, but they need to get him out of there because there's a log jam at the 4-5 spot, because Christian Wood should be playing the 5 because that's where he's the most effective, and he has regressed since playing the 4. His help defense is not what it needs to be. He doesn't get the mismatches he needs offensively. He has been so much less effective as a 4 on the floor. And then on top of that, if you play Christian Wood at the 5 and you run somebody else at the 4, one of the wings, then suddenly you've got a depth chart of 3 centers in Daniel Tice and Alperen Şengün. And I just don't think the Rockets expected LP to be this good this early. And so now you're in this conundrum of minutes trying to stagger them between Wood, Tice, and LP and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Another standout from LP, he had the ball deep in the paint, and he's got that array of pivot moves, and he's just so patient. He's patient with his passing. He's patient with his playmaking. He just doesn't ever really look rushed. Like, he looks like he knows what he's going to do and doesn't get bothered by the defense. He had this one, right? He got the ball deep right next to the rim and, you know, goes up, nothing there, pump fake, spin, twirl, still nothing there, spin, another twirl, and then a little baby hook into the rim. And, you know, again, it's very Jokic-esque. It's very, honestly, it's Olajuwon-esque. It's Dream-esque the way that he, you know, has this array of spin moves and he has got the patience in the paint. I'm not comparing Alperen Şengün to Hakeem Olajuwon. Don't go aggregate me on that. But it's just impressive to watch this 19-year-old kid look this poised on an NBA basketball court and seemingly isn't being able to be rewarded with consistent minutes. I will say the one note that I have is he does have trouble with fouling, right? He has shown, you know, in this game specifically, he had 5 fouls in 21 minutes, right? So there is the concern of if he starts, right, how quickly does ALP start fouling out of games if he's in the starting lineup? And there's the other side of things where how bad would this Rockets bench unit look if they didn't have ALP, right? So there's a couple things that I understand as to why ALP might not be starting. That said, get Daniel Tice out of the starting lineup. Please, I beg of you, Steven Silas, make the change. Bring KPJ back. Keep Gordon in the starting lineup. Move Tate to small ball four. Do something, because Daniel Tice in the starting lineup is not it. Now, coming up, I do want to talk about the Rockets falling apart in the third quarter, what Garrison Matthews and Armoni Brooks bring to the table, get to all of that and more after a quick message from our friends over at Shopify. In case you don't know, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their product. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS software, their point-of-sale app, and accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses, right? So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. So go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of amazing features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. Now, I want to get into some of just the you know, little bit of the game flow for the Rockets in this one. And it wasn't, you know, this Rockets team, they're able to play some competitive games. Like, this was a competitive first half, right? Despite the Rockets' three-point shooting woes, shooting just under 30% in the first half. Thank you, Armoni Brooks, for hitting three of the five triples from the Rockets in the first half. They went into halftime only trailing by five. This was a team, Jason Tatum had 22 points at half, and the Celtics were only up five. Like, things were not, you know, things were not going against the Rockets, right? They were very much in this game despite their offensive struggles, because the Celtics were also struggling offensively. The Rockets were shooting just under 30%. The Celtics were shooting just over 30% from three, only 4 of 13 shooting at halftime for the Celtics. Just 40% shooting from the field for the Celtics. Rockets were 43% shooting from the field after the first half. It was kind of an ugly first half between both teams, right? But the Rockets, they were limiting turnovers. They were actually very much in this game. There was moments, especially when the second unit was in there, talked about it with ALP, but, you know, moving the ball really, really well, getting some really, really quality shot attempts for each other, you know, the ball finding, you know, moving it side to side, all the different things that you want to see from this team. The offense wasn't super stagnant. It just kind of came down to they weren't hitting the shots that they needed to hit. They were generating some really good looks in the first half. And then the third quarter happens, and the Rockets scored 3 points up until, what was it, the 4:31 mark of the third quarter. Right around the 4.5 minute mark of the third quarter, they finally got another bucket. But up until that point, they were 1 of 13 shooting. The one bucket came from a Christian Wood dunk, and they had a free throw mixed in there somewhere, right? Yeah, a free throw from Jalen Green. That was it. 3 points through 7.5 minutes in the third quarter. The Celtics, on the other hand, jumped out to a 24-3 run, and Jaylen Brown caught fire, right? So Jason Tatum carried the Celtics, you know, put them on his back in the first half with 22 points. Jaylen Brown caught fire in the third quarter, had 12 points, hit a couple three-pointers, hit a couple other buckets, was getting to the free throw line. He was on fire, and that's when the Celtics completely separated from the Rockets. And so what I don't get, right, and this is where if you're going to fork some blame onto Steven Silas, then this is where you need to put the blame, right? He had Armoni Brooks, who was playing out of his mind in the first half. He had Alperen Şengün, who was doing a good job facilitating. The second unit, by and large, had outplayed the starters in the first half of basketball. So why did it take 7.5 minutes for Steven Silas to make a change to his starting lineup, right? Why did it take so long for him to go, you know, search out the substitutions and figure out where are we going to get some, where are we going to get some added support? Now, I will say, I apologize. It wasn't a full 7.5 minutes before he made the first substitution, but it took about 5 minutes for about what, 5.5 minutes for Daniel Tice to get subbed out for the Rockets to then bring in, they subbed out Jayshon Tate, Daniel Tice at about 5.5 minutes into the third quarter, bringing in Garrison Matthews and KJ Martin. Look, I like what Garrison Matthews is bringing to the table, but he wasn't the sharpshooter who had it going in this game, unfortunately. So that decision to bring in Matthews over Armani Brooks when Armani Brooks had already connected on multiple threes in the first half was a little perplexing. Maybe it was more so of a defensive thing as well. Didn't want to, you know, wanted to bring in Matthews for his size as well as his shooting offensively. But where this game was lost was the starters completely burying their head in the sand in that third quarter. They talked about it post game. Steven Silas talked about it post game, saying, yeah, like, you know, they started the third quarter okay. They were getting some of the looks that they normally want to get. They just weren't converting on them. Things got frustrating. You know, things were a little frustrating in that third quarter. They started, missing shots. And then when you're missing shots, you start kind of hanging your head, and then they weren't putting their best foot forward defensively. And so then things kind of, you know, it just kind of snowballed at that point. And that's what happens with this team, is rather than, you know, digging in deeper and really fighting on the defensive end when the offense isn't coming to them, they kind of hang their head a little bit, and then things get, you know, go from bad to worse for this team. So what I would have liked to see would have been, you know, after the first, you know, 3-4 minutes of offensive struggles, like, make a sub, bring in the sharpshooter who was killing it for you off the bench earlier, right, in Armani Brooks. Maybe bring in Alp, you know, a little bit earlier than planned, because Alp is instant offense off the bench. Like I said earlier, he either creates something for himself, like he gets a bucket for himself, he creates free throws for himself, or he creates a quality look for one of his teammates. Those are the things that happen when Alp is on the floor. So I would have liked to see those substitutions take place a little bit, you know, sooner, or just if at all, honestly, because the Rockets did go on to kind of find their footing a little bit the rest of the way in the third quarter. But it was just, at that point, it's too little too late, right? You go down 20 something points, and then you have to dig yourself out of this hole, and you're not putting yourself in a position to succeed at all. And I feel like they could have done some things differently in that third quarter, substitution wise, to give themselves a fighting chance in this game that they were very much in the first half due to the contributions from the guys off of the bench. I do want to talk about, I've mentioned Armani Brooks and Garrison Matthews a couple times. I'm impressed at what they're bringing to the table, because what this Rockets offense so desperately needs is shooting. Like, it's been so apparent that this Rockets team needs shooters on the floor, but what they also need are mobile shooters, right? And that's what Garrison Matthews and Armani Brooks bring to the table. And I was so impressed with Armani specifically, because it's felt like in the times where Armani's, you know, actually gotten some run on the floor, he's been a bit hesitant, a bit gun shy, right? You can't say the same for Garrison Matthews. Garrison Matthews is not gun shy. He is trigger happy, right? He will, as soon as he touches the basketball, he will fire it within a millisecond of touching it. And that's what we kind of saw, that confidence out of Armani Brooks in this game, where he was really hunting his shot, right? He was looking for his shot. He was coming off screens with purpose, getting himself set, squaring up, elevating, rising into his three-point shot. And that's the kind of play that we need to see when Armani Brooks gets the nod off the bench, when he's, you know, when Steven Silas says, all right, you know, he's calling Armani's number seven. That's how Armani has to play moving forward if he wants to carve himself out, pardon me, if he wants to carve himself out some rotation minutes, right? Because now he's got some competition in Garrison Matthews, right? Now there's two sharpshooters on the Rockets bench who are going to be vying for, you know, whatever remaining minutes are left in the guard rotation after Kevin Porter Jr. returns. And I think that one of them is going to win those minutes, and maybe it'll be as simple as Steven Silas goes Armani Brooks one night, Garrison Matthews the next night, or maybe he'll do Armani Brooks in the first half, Garrison Matthews second half, and just kind of see who has it going that night. But they're directly competing for a spot at this point. It'll be interesting to see which one of them actually ultimately wins out the rotation minutes moving forward, because this team desperately needs some shooting with consistency on the floor. Garrison Matthews' numbers haven't quite been there yet, but historically he's been a really solid three-point shooter, so I'm not worried about it. I like the confidence that he shoots it with, and the shots will start falling for Matthews sooner than they will later. So coming up, final segment where we've got a cryptic tweet from John Wall, final thoughts from this Rockets-Celtics game, as well as, hey, we're going to check in on Usman Garuba in the G League coming up in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions today. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for your subscriptions that you don't need, want, or simply forgot about, right? I know that's happened to me before. On average, people save up to $720 a year. That's $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, one click, one button. It's that easy. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. And another message from our friends over at RockAuto.com. Because look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need, right? It doesn't make sense. Don't bother going in person when you can just go to rockauto.com. You're going to save time and money when you use Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Here's a quick example, right? A Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. It's only $216 from rockauto.com. So if you're a DIY person at all, you've got to check out Rock Auto. And best of all, right, they're a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. The prices are always reliably low for every single customer. They don't price gouge you at all, like kind of like what airlines do, right? They're not going to charge you more. They care about you. They're going to get you taken care of. Here's the important part, right? They've got everything that you need. They've got you for brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even brand new carpet. So when you visit their website, which, hey, the catalog, so easy to navigate. You can quickly find all the brands and specifications that you need for your car or truck. When you're ready to check out, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. We thank you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd killing it in the fantasy game as he does each and every year. If you like fantasy hoops, go check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. Now, final segment here, final thoughts from this game, as well as a check-in on one Usman Garuba and a cryptic tweet from John Wall to close things out with today's show. But first, I got to give a shout out to KJ Martin. KJ Martin and Alperen Şengün have developed some of the best chemistry on this team together. We saw it in the game against the New York Knicks this past weekend, the lob from KJ to Şengün, the inverse lob, right? Usually it's Şengün feeding KJ Martin for an easy two at the rim. This time around, it was KJ Martin feeding Şengün. That alley-oop against the Knicks was something else. One of the highlights of this very depressing Rockets season. You know, that was a pretty awesome play. But in this one, KJ Martin, not quite as efficient as we've normally seen him be in the past. 10 points, but on just 4 of 10 shooting. A large part of that because he attempted a lot of three pointers in this one. So he shot 1 of 4 from behind the 3-point line, and then again 1 of 4 at the free throw line. So you'd like to see the outside shooting continue to get a little bit better for KJ Martin. But inside the arc, he was 3 of 6 shooting inside the arc, so continues to be really effective inside. He had the one lob from DJ Augustine in transition where he, like, DJ threw the ball like 15 feet in the air and it was way too up there. And KJ still went and got it, like just absolutely flying, levitating, gliding, you know, ascending, soaring. Just, I need to break out my thesaurus and look for more adjectives to describe what it looks like to see when KJ Martin jumps for a pass that is well beyond his reach and somehow still manages to track the ball down and then yam it home. It was a really exciting play. KJ Martin is is must-see TV when he's on the basketball court, because you're always like, wait, similar to Jalen Green, right? You're always kind of waiting. You're just like, is he about, you know, you see KJ Martin get out in transition, and you're like, oh, here, break out the popcorn. Something's about to happen. But his chemistry with Alper and Şengün cannot be understated. Those two guys play off of each other really, really well. And having those two guys come in off the bench together is, you know, potentially one of the reasons, right, that Steven Silas hasn't gone to Şengün in the starting lineup. Again, there's a treasure trove of reasons for why Şengün may or may not be starting, or currently isn't starting. And, you know, we could sit here and you know, cycle through all of them, but maybe that's another one, right? Is just, he likes the chemistry between KJ and Şengün off the bench. And if he started Şengün, then the Rockets bench would look, you know, desolate for playmaking or whatever you want to call it. So I wanted to give KJ Martin his shout out. In addition to his points and his shooting numbers, he finished with 6 rebounds. He had an assist, had a steal, had a block. He finds ways to impact the game, and he doesn't need the basketball. He runs in transition really, really well. I can't stop saying good things about KJ Martin moving forward. I will say that the one area of his game that he's still got to work on is his handle, right? It still does not look very polished at all. And it kind of doesn't matter. That's the funny thing, right? Is what we're seeing from KJ Martin is he's still able to, even despite the fact that he does not have the best handle, he takes like 2 or 3 dribbles towards the rim. And then when he gets a proper driving lane and there's enough space, takes 2 or 3 dribbles towards the rim. And then he just elevates past his defender. And then he's just like right there, like hand is right there at the rim or at the backboard. And so it doesn't matter that he doesn't have this like array of creative moves. He's strong enough to get his upper body past a defender and then just leap. And then he's at the rim. But once he unlocks that further, you know, potential in his game, once he becomes a more competent ball handler, then the sky's the limit for him. He has all the tools to be a really, really solid NBA player. We're already seeing it in stretches when he's, you know, paired off the bench with Alper and Şengün. So with that, before we get to a cryptic as all hell tweet from John Wall, I want to check in. Usman Garuba for the RGV Vipers finished his game. The Vipers won 125-123 against Mexico City. And Usman Garuba had the game-saving block at the end of regulation. Finished the game with 18 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks, 8 of 10 shooting, and 2 of 2 from behind the three-point line. Was a plus 11 in 31 minutes of run. Usman Garuba is, you know, he's absolutely NBA ready. It kind of comes down to the same issue that we're talking about with Daniel Tice and the rotation minutes with Alper and Şengün and Christian Wood. And where do you find the minutes for him, right? Because he's somebody who you can't play him at the four, and you definitely probably can't play him and like Şengün side by side. The Rockets have a bunch of quote unquote non-shooting bigs, and they've only got so many minutes to roll around, unfortunately. So it sucks that, you know, Usman Garuba got moved on to the G League. But at the same time, I love that he's showing out down there and proving, hey, I'm better than the G League, right? It's what KPJ did last season. He went down to the G League. He got the reps. He put up insane numbers, and the Rockets brought him back up for the second half of the season. Assuming the Rockets make some trades before the trade deadline and can move on from some of the vets on this roster, potentially Daniel Tice, Eric Gordon, maybe House, maybe Nwaba, right? If they move on from some of those names, maybe it frees some things up for them. Hey, maybe Christian Wood will be in some trade talks at the trade deadline, right? That's a topic that we haven't quite discussed yet. If they're willing to move on from some of those guys, then maybe we'll see Usman Garuba get some run in the second half of the NBA season up, you know, with the Rockets instead. But he's very capable, and his defense is true. It's the offensive part of his game that needs to be polished, needs to be refined a little bit, but I'm glad to see him finding success with the Vipers. So that brings us to our cryptic John Wall tweet. So Chris Mannix basically tweets out, the John Wall situation is pretty wild. He's traveling with the Rockets, sitting on the bench in uniform, but isn't playing. I don't know how that benefits the Rockets or Wall. One, John Wall was not in uniform. He was wearing a, you know, kind of a jumpsuit, tracksuit that was not like the team issue one from the Rockets. That's like a, you know, but it's a staple of John Wall's wardrobe. So John Wall tweets back at Chris Mannix saying, did not dress. And then somebody replies to John Wall saying, you're getting punished for something you can't control. John Wall then retweets this with the old school retweet too, like the old school way of retweeting, and just said facts. That's it. Like, so retweeted a thing that said, you're getting punished for something you can't control. And he goes, facts. So how do we infer this, right? Does this mean that the understanding between the Rockets and John Wall wasn't quite as much of a two-way street as we thought it was, where both parties were invested and engaged and, you know, on the same page about John Wall sitting out this season? Does John Wall want to be playing right now? Is he frustrated with the fact that he's not on the basketball court? Maybe there's more to the story than what we were led to believe to start this NBA season, but it is a little cryptic for John Wall to, you know, suddenly at this point in the season, you know, 15 straight losses for the Rockets, and John Wall is basically saying, look, you know, I'm being punished for something that, you know, I can't control. Maybe it's not necessarily, you know, him not playing for the Rockets. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, recently there was the report that came out that the Rockets are, you know, struggling. It's becoming increasingly unlikely for the Rockets to find a trade partner for John Wall this season, given his contract size. Maybe that's more so what it's about, is John Wall thinks that he should be playing or could be playing for another team, a contender, that his body is in good shape, that he can be a contributor, but because of the size of his contract, the Rockets aren't able to find a suitable trade partner. So maybe that's the punishment that he's referring to. Nonetheless, it's definitely John Wall stirring the pot a little bit, and it gives, you know, a little bit of, I don't want to say worry, right? I mean, he's sat out to this point. If he suddenly becomes, you know, aggressive about wanting to be back, you know, plugged back into games or whatever, then maybe we have another situation, the inverse of the Ben Simmons situation, where Ben Simmons doesn't want to play for the Sixers and the Sixers want him to play. Right now, the Rockets don't want John Wall to play, but he does want to play. And the common thread between both of those situations is one, Clutch Sports and Rich Paul. So it'd be interesting to see if this escalates into anything further, how that situation either, you know, mirrors or, you know, parallels the situation with Ben Simmons over with the 76ers, but definitely something to monitor and keep our eyes on moving forward. So with that, that's going to be it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you checking out the show, even during this painful 15-game losing streak. Means a lot that you're sticking with the team and with the show. But if you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app. Check us out at all those available destinations. Also on YouTube, the YouTube channel is doing really, really well. Love being on video, crystal clear HD. Shout out to the guy who commented on the picture from the Rockets viewing party against the Knicks, where we were all posted up at Little Woodrow's, and said, is that a, some guy on Twitter goes, is that a young Tony Soprano? I can't escape the Tony Soprano memes, unfortunately. So I guess that's just, I'm going to have to lean into it, right? At this point, I'm going to have to lean into it. I need to shave. I need to talk about Gabagool, maybe develop a bit of an accent. I can't do accents, so I'm not going to try that. But anyways, I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent to wrap up the show. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.